This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, October 2nd, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Fall X2 roll back. Paraquat bill signed. Ag and food groups seek end to port strike. Heeding outcry, water agencies preserve supplies. State and federal agencies are pulling back on Fall X2. The controversial policy requires reservoirs to release water this time of year that to support endangered Delta smelt habitat. The Department of Water Resources and the Bureau of Reclamation yesterday adjusted the flow requirement for the state and federal water projects. Jennifer Pierre, the general manager of the state water contractors, pleased to see her comment letter paid off. She said the adaptive management approach is smartly protecting water supplies and applauded state leaders for science-based decision-making. The Westlands Water District estimates Fall X2 led the loss of 730,000 acre-feet of water last year. General Manager Allison Febo was encouraged to see both agencies acting to maximize the value of limited water supplies. Newsom signs Paraquat Bill. Governor Gavin Newsom has signed AB 1963, a contentious measure seeking to limit the use of paraquat. The bill began as an outright ban on the herbicide, but was watered down in the Senate Ag Committee. It now requires the Department of Pesticide Regulation to complete a reevaluation of paraquat by 2029. A coalition of more than a dozen ag groups opposed the legislation. They argued the bill oversteps the scientific review process and would pull critical resources from other DPR duties, such as registering alternatives to paraquat. Newsom, however, has notched a series of pesticide bans throughout his tenure and stayed on par this year. The legislature this summer approved his dramatic increase to the mill assessment, and he is looking to the new revenues to finance the paraquat review. Yet Newsom twisted many of the industry's arguments in his favor. In a signing statement, Newsom said he believes DPR should be selecting the pesticides for reevaluation through a data-driven process. He asserted it should be a public endeavor and consider factors like available alternatives. We must allow DPR to utilize this process, he wrote, arguing such an approach is critical for implementing his sustainable pest management objective. That agenda seeks to eliminate the use of certain controversial pesticides. Vance presses tariffs in VP debate. J.D. Vance used last night's vice presidential debate to defend Donald Trump's tariff proposals. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz touted Democrat president candidate Kamala Harris' opportunity economy. Walz acknowledged the necessity of trade and criticized Trump's 20% across-the-board tariff proposal as a national sales tax that would cost taxpayers up to $4,000 a year. Walz said, I'm not a guy who wanted to ship things overseas, but I understand that. Look, we produce soybeans and corn. We need to have fair trading partners. Vance defended Trump's tariff plans by emphasizing the GOP ticket's desire to boost U.S. manufacturing jobs. Vance said, you're probably surprised to hear me praising Joe Biden, but the one thing that Joe Biden did is he continued some of the Trump tariffs that protected American manufacturing jobs. He spoke after asserting Harris had run away from Biden's records. Harris has been critical of Trump's across-the-board tariff plan, but hasn't said whether she would roll back existing tariffs. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Bravo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Ag and food groups urge agreement to end port strike. Groups across the agriculture sector are calling for port workers and their employers to reach an agreement to end a strike that has stall containerized shipping along the East and Gulf Coast. The Animal Feed Industry Association warns that prolonged port closures, quote, could escalate into an animal welfare crisis, as animal feed makers could be unable to secure foreign-sourced vitamins, minerals, and amino acids essential for the health of livestock and pets. The National Milk Producers Federation said the strike jeopardizes $32 million in dairy exports every week. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall warns that continued port disruptions, quote, could leave perishable food rotting at the docks, which threatens the livelihood of farmers. The path forward? Well, some ag groups have issued statements calling for President Biden to intervene, but so far, the president isn't doing so. In a public statement yesterday, Biden said, quote, collective bargaining is the best way for workers to get the pay and benefits they deserve. He also appeared to show some support for the dock workers' cause, saying, quote, I have urged USMX, which represents a group of foreign-owned carriers, to come to the table and present a fair offer to the workers of the International Longshoremen Association that ensures they are paid appropriately in line with their invaluable contributions, he said. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. EPA to award $10 million in farm worker pesticide grants. EPA is making close to $10 million available in grants under three programs to help educate farm workers about pesticides and their rights under the Agricultural Worker Protection Standard. One grant of $2.1 million would go toward improving health care providers' ability to prevent, recognize, treat, manage, and report pesticide-related illnesses, EPA said. EPA anticipates awarding two cooperative agreements worth $6.3 million to community-based farm worker organizations. A total of up to $6.3 million will be awarded to these five-year agreements beginning 2025. By the way, EPA's Farm Worker Training and Education Program for Pesticide Safety website has more information on eligibility and how to apply. Power still out for thousands in rural South after Helene's devastation. Nearly 500,000 rural electric cooperative customers are still left without power in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. It could take days or even weeks for them to get it back. The hurricane had originally hit 1.25 million electrical users across Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and other parts of the South, though crews from across the country have been able to successfully restore some service. Helene is one of the most devastating hurricanes seen in the 87-year history of electric cooperatives, National Rural Electric Cooperative Association CEO Jim Matheson told reporters. Georgia electrical co-ops had 166 distribution stations out at the peak of the storm, though only 39 remain out of order. It is devastation that is hard to describe, said Dennis Chasten, CEO of the Georgia Electric Membership Corporation. I've been in this business for 38 years, and I've never seen anything like it. Here's today's final word. His decision to not only sign my bill is an affront to all farm workers across our state. That Senator David Cortez of Silicon Valley reacting to Newsom vetoing his bill on workers' comp for heat illness. He charged that Newsom is failing to prevent more deaths and has disregarded a fundamental right to safe working conditions. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, October 2nd, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jack Allen.